Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Katshalom. We're now in Masechet Bechorot Daf Chaf Amud Bet, in the middle of our analysis of the Braita, in which Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Akiva disagreed about how to analyze the status of an animal bought from a non-Jew, and we don't know if it ever gave birth before, and now it gives birth, is that a Bechor or not? Amar Rabbi Akiva, Anilabati Lidemi Dazu, Ela Kol Shiyadua, etc. So we already analyzed the difference between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yeshua, and the difference between Rabbi Yeshua's tradition that he quoted and his own position. Rabbi Akiva took the very simple position, which is that if we know that the animal never gave birth, the next thing goes to the Kohen. If we know it gave birth, nothing. If it's a fake, in any kind of safek, then it is eaten once it gets a mum by the owners. Now, Ma'ika ben Rabbi Akiva with Rabbi Yeshua, where do they disagree? I'm Rabbi Chanina Misura. Chalav poter ika binayu. The disagreement is whether an animal that's nursing is automatically assumed to have had a child or had some sort of birth event, and therefore the next one born is not a bechor. Bekiva saw a chalav poter. Bekiva says that exempts halecha charov beimot, because we follow rov. For rov beimot ein chovot elim ken yodot. Most animals do not nurse unless they've actually given birth. And therefore, if it's give milk, if it's nursing, then we know it gave birth. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Haikam Yuta de Cholot of Bisha and Yodot. Some, once in a while, and we're back to the issue of mute, once in a while you have animals that will nurse even though they didn't give birth. But Umichai Shabbi Yeshua the mute, and we're going to go back to the issue of Yibum, which is such a critical area for mute and rove, since one is Rabbi Yeshua concerned with mute, but none. We have this Mishnah towards the end of Yivamot. Haitala Chamota, let's say that a woman was married, and her husband had no known brothers. Her mother-in-law was still alive, and her mother-in-law left the country, and then her husband died. And she doesn't have to be worried that her mother-in-law subsequently married or had relations with somebody and had a boy who was born before her husband died, and therefore the Zibum, she can remarry. But if the mother-in-law left pregnant, then she has to be worried that she gave birth to a boy, and the boy lived, and now when her husband dies, there's a boy out there somewhere she's got to be worried about for chalitza, for zika. Now, Rishua Amir, Eina Choseshet. Rishua says, nothing to worry about. V'amrin and Mai, Tamid Rabbi Yeshua, and in our discussion we said, why does Rabbi Yeshua say we're not Chosesh? Kesava rov mu'ubarot yoldot. He does the following calculus. Most women who are pregnant have a live birth. Umiyut n'mapilot, and some miscarry. Small amount, but some miscarry. Remember, it's only a brother that's going to create this problem. Women who give birth, 50% males, 50% females, which means, what are the chances of there being a live male birth? Less than 50%. So add the small percentage, we'll call it 5%. Of those who miscarry, to the 50% females of live births, vavulus chavi miuta, live male births are now less than 50%. Ul miuta lo cheshinan, and therefore we don't have to be choshesh. And by the way, this means that even a significant miut, a 45% miut, if you will, is still not on Rabbi Yeshua's radar, and he says this woman can remarry and not be worried that her mother-in-law, who was pregnant, gave birth to a live male. So we see that Rabbi Yeshua is not choshesh the miut at all. Ela epuch. So we have to turn it around and say Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that maybe even though it's nursing, it did not give birth. And Rabbi Yeshua says if it's nursing, then it gave birth. Vatanya chalav poter to Rabbi Yeshua. Rekiva omer chalav eno poter. Now we have a braita that says exactly that, exactly the way we righted the ship. Rabbi Yeshua says if it's nursing, it's patur. Rabbi Akiva says not necessarily so. Okay, now we have an interesting braita. It gives us a scenario. We have to remember one premise, which is that for Maaser Behema, only animals born during the same year, following the position of Chachamim, from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Rosh Chodesh Elul, only animals born during that period come in the next year, after Rosh Chodesh Elul, for Maaser Behema. So therefore, Gidaya. You have a kid. Shialda shalosh panot. Now, goats typically have one. Sometimes have two, and on occasion will have three born in a litter. So this one had three. V'chol menoteh yaldu shalosh shalosh. And each one of these three gave birth to another three, which means now there's a total of 13 animals kicking around here. The mother, three daughters, that's four, and another nine grandchildren, if you will. Kulan nechasot ladir litaser. Now, Kulan here does not include, as you'll see, the mother, but the other 12 all do come into the deer to have into the corral from aser behemah together. So you could have this one mother, and within a year you'd have enough from aser behemah. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon adds, Ani ra'iti she'isra b'toch shnata. He adds something which is machloket. We've shown him how to understand this, but it's fairly clear from the Gemara how to understand it. Rabbi Shimon says, I saw that she generated ma'aser within 1 year. Now, whether Rabbi Shimon is simply corroborating the position of Tanakama and saying, I actually saw it happen, or whether he's adding something else, which is, and that seems to be the case, that the mother herself counted, meaning the mother herself could have been born during that same year that she had grandchildren, if you will. Now, that seems to be the way Rabbi Shimon is saying it, as we'll see from the Gemara. Now, we pick this apart atomistically. Why did the bright, this Tosefta, give a case of each one of the children having three? Tolid chad minayutlat. All you need is for one of them to have three, v'enach tarti tarti, the others to have two. Because what do we want? We want the three children, plus another seven grandchildren to have enough for maaser. And the point is still proven that you could have one starting out and a year later have enough for maaser behemah, still if you have it that way. The answer is very simple. You need to have at least one of them having three to make the math work. Therefore, they just made it easy. Each one of them had three. It's an easier way to easier, more concise form of teaching. Now, this is a better question, which is, why have three at all? Why don't we have the children each have two kids? And it's teach a bigger chiddush, which is the mother gave birth to three. And then each one of those three had two, which gives us nine. And then the mother should have another child during the same year, so that you end up having four children, three of whom have two children each, and you got 10 right there, without the mother being included. So perhaps the position of Tanakama is that a mother who has any sort of a birth event will not give birth again during the same year. So once she had the three kids during that year, she will not again during her first year of life have any more kids. So, that's not true, because you could even argue that Tanakama would say that a mother has a birth event, like a miscarriage, could still give birth during that year. But if she actually has a live birth, then she will not have another birth during that first year. So therefore, we could not create a scenario where the mother had a second birth event with a fourth child to complete the 10, and therefore we needed to have at least one of the children having three, so all three of them had three to make the presentation more concise. Now, I'm Rabbi Shimon, Ani Ra'iti Gedaya. Now we have Rabbi Shimon. So, Ma'ika Ben Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon, where do they disagree? So one possibility is Ika Ben Ayu de Ziri. They might disagree about Ziri. Ziri, if you recall from the previous podcast, said that Tinuf is at least 30 days. Tanakama Yidle de Ziri. Tanakama has Ziri, which means that if the goat can only become pregnant at 3 months. The goat became pregnant at 3 months, and therefore, after 5 months, which means 5 months of gestation, which means now after 8 full months, it had the three children, and then there's another 30 days per Ziri, in which case nobody's going to get near it, and then it becomes pregnant again. It's going to overshoot the year. Rabbi Shimon lately to Ziri. Maybe Rabbi Shimon says that we don't accept Ziri, and it could become pregnant immediately after giving birth, and therefore, theoretically, the mother could have been born in that same year. Perhaps everybody accepts Ziri. Their disagreement is whether or not goats have a possibility of an abbreviated but successful gestation. The Tanakama Einu Yoledet L'mkutayin has to have full gestation. Shimon Yoledet, Rabbi Shimon says it could have an abbreviated gestation, which means, again, it could have all these children and grandchildren within the first year of its own birth, which means the mother would be only included in the Maaser. Everybody agrees it's a full gestation. As we saw at the end of the previous podcast, maybe their machloket is whether or not miktzateyom kechulo, and therefore whether on the last day of the tinuf of the tzairi proposes, she can become pregnant again. Tanakama, Lomim Satayim Kahulo, according to Tanakama, it's a full 30 days, and therefore there's no way for it to have grandchildren during the same year it's born. And Rabbi Shimon, according to Shimon, it could just barely happen on that same day, and therefore it's theoretically possible to have the mother, the children, and the grandchildren all be during the same year. By the way, there's a machloket running through the sugya between Rashi and Tosfot about what kind of months we're talking about here, whether it's a lunar month. Tosfot said impossible. Take a look there. Everybody agrees. The machloket is, can you bring an animal into the corral for Maaser Beima even though it cannot be offered yet? Remember, every animal that's born must have 7 days before it's offered. And during those first 7 days, it's called Mechusar Zman. On the eighth day, it can be offered. So that means that you have the mother was born, it's possible to have Miktzad Yom Kehulo, and therefore, on the very last day of its year, to have those grandchildren born. However, the grandchildren could not yet be offered. Question is, do they come into the corral to be counted, and then the Maaser will be offered a week later. And we actually have a braita that supports that. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda quotes Rabbi Shimon, who is exactly what we're looking for, who says Mechusar Zman does come into the corral and is counted. V'arehin kibachor, and they're just like a bachor. What do we know about a bachor? Ma bachor kadosh lifnei zmano v'karev lachar zmano. After all, a bachor is kadosh from the minute it's born. It can't be brought then. It's brought after its time, which means a week later. Av mechusar zman kadosh lifnei zmano v'karev lachar zmano. Same thing with maaser behema. You could bring it into the corral on its first or second or third or fourth day, even though it's only going to be brought on the eighth day and forward. Alright, now the question is, why does Rabbi Shimon say that? By the way, we substantiated our understanding that Rabbi Shimon's position is, and everybody will agree at this point, that you could have the mother, the children, and the grandchildren all born during the same calendar year with an extremely tight fit of time. But the question is, could the grandchildren be brought into the corral before they're 8 days old, which they cannot have yet reached 8 days old? Rabbi Shimon says they can, and then they're brought later. Now, the question is, why does Rabbi Shimon have that position? Why does he infer Maaser Behema from Bechor? Why does he learn it from Kodshim? Which, after all, if you're Maktish an animal before its time, it doesn't work. It's not Kodosh. So the answer is, Bechor Maaser Behema have some points in common, unlike the rest of Kodshim. Shekein Goel, first of all, they have no redemption. If you have a Bechor or Maaser Behema and they get a Mum, you don't redeem them at all. They just have a din of Bechor Baal Mum or Maaser Behema Baal Mum. Mum, which is that they are eaten the Mumam. Tmurat, if you have a Tmura of a Bechor or Maaser, it's not offered on the Mizbeach, unlike others. Tmurat Shlamim, etc. And Achila, which is that it's eaten the Mumo. Adaraba. The opposite, Maaser Behema has more points in common with regular Kodshim and not Bechor. Shekein Zachar, after all, a Bechor can only be a male. Kadosh, after all, you have to Maktish the Maaser Behema by saying number 10. And regular Kodshim, Matanot, Bechor is a Matanot the coin, Maaser is not. And Pashut, Maaser Behema, like other Kodshim, could apply to any animal, whether firstborn or not. Kind of like parallel with goes in team with the Zachar. So here what you have is Bechor has 4 points in common with Maaser Behema, and regular Kodshim have 4 points in common with Maaser Behema. Why did Rabbi Shimon go to Bechor? Rabbi Shimon avar gamer, the two psukim that are on the page, v'avarta kol petarechem, the pasuk about Bechor, and kol asher ya'avor tachat ha'shavet, the pasuk about Maaser Behema, those common words of la'avor connect Bechor and Maaser Behema. Now we have a bunch of miscellany till the end of the Gemara. Hachi eridami tinuf. When we talk about tinuf, about this miscarriage, afterbirth piece, whatever it is, that testifies to a birth event, what does that look like? Amarava kida amri ra'avata, like the shepherds say, tzalta atzachevata. There's some animal got in the way of the birth. In other words, it's like some thing that looks like maybe it was at some point formed and it comes out. Shmuel amar ba'abuei dadama. He says, no, blood bubbles basically come out. So parenthetically we say you have to show this to a chacham to see whether or not it really is tinuf, and therefore the next thing is not a bechor. Chacham menayada. How will a chacham know? We think a chacham means talmid chacham. Amar papa roi chacham. It means a shepherd who is a chacham. An experienced shepherd would know these things. Now we have the following. We all know that Yitzirat Havlad Bishar by Yom, that a child, a human child, is formed after 40 days of pregnancy, and you already have a form, which is why the halachot changed so much at 40 days. By Rav Chista, Rav Chista asked by Imam Makama, what's that period for a behema? Which typically most of the behemot we're dealing with have a shorter gestation. Now, Papa Labaye, Mavainu de Ziri, isn't that exactly Ziri's halacha of 30 days? So the way they're understanding Ziri here is that from the moment the animal becomes pregnant, for the first 30 days, it's still in formation, which means that that's going to come out as Tinuf. No, the answer is Hula Kabel Itmar. No, Ziri's halacha of Tinuf is not defining how far along in development of the vlad it is, but rather telling you that if an animal had Tinuf for the next 30 days, no other animal will be able to mate with it. It won't be ready to take it. Okay, now back to analyzing our Mishnah. Matzina lokeach migoy. Our Mishnah is only talking about a case where you bought an animal from a goy. What do you do? Lokeach misrael mai. What's the halacha if you buy from a Jew? We have three different opinions here. Amarav bechor vadai. He says for sure the animal is a bechor. Why dim ita the bichra? If this animal had already given birth, ishtapuchev mishtabichle. The seller would have bragged about it and probably raised the price and said this animal's already proven to be able to give birth. He said, Safek, why? Maybe the reason the seller didn't talk about it is because he thought you're buying the animal for meat, in which case it doesn't matter whether it's able to give birth, you're going to shecht it. So therefore, maybe he didn't say anything, we don't know. He says the opposite. Any animal born, when you buy it from another Jew, is chulin. Why? My taima, im ita de lo bichra kevin de ika isura utu avimodile. Had it not yet given birth, since there's an Easter involved, the other Jew would have told you, listen, you should know, it didn't have a baby yet, the first one out is a Bechor. The fact that he didn't tell you that indicates that it already had a baby, and therefore you don't need to worry about it. This, of course, only is in the case when you bought the animal after a time that it at least possibly could have already had a child. Otherwise, it certainly would be Bechor. If you bought an animal when it was a month old, certainly whatever it gives birth to is going to be a Bechor. Tanya Kratet Rabbi Yochanan. We think that this Braita will support Rabbi Yochanan, because Amar Chulin, Rabbi Yochanan, who said that the animal's Chulin, because back in the fifth parak of Chulin, in Otovet Beno, we said that you have an obligation as a seller to tell people when you sell an animal that you sold its mother or its young, if you're selling the mother, that day, if you sold that day, so they know that they can't shecht on that day because the assumption is the other guy who bought it is shechting that day, and you violate Otovet Beno. What's the halacha? If the seller doesn't tell you anything, you can go and shecht, and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to do your own investigation. Sounds like the same halacha as Rabbi Yochanan, which is the silence of the seller is enough for the buyer to say, I know that I'm in the clear. So, Lema Tavituv to Rav Shmuel. It sounds like this is such good support for Rabbi Yochanan that Rav and Shmuel are refuted. The answer is no. They could easily defend their positions as follows. Hata Mamocher Talia Milta. In that case, it's the seller's job to let people know if he sold the young or the mother on the same day, and if he doesn't say anything, then we assume that everything is in the clear. Hachab lokeach talia milta. Here, it's the buyer whose job it is to find out whether or not this animal already had a baby, and therefore the lokeach who did not ask the question cannot, Rav and Shmuel would argue, cannot be assured that this is not now going to be mevakeret, and I'll be obligated to treat it as a bechor, and therefore Rav says for sure it is a bechor, and Shmuel says safek. We'll pause at this point and pick it up in the next podcast with the end of Mishnah Aleph of the third parak. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.